We are all growing in our faith, but some seem to be growing in fear. It's almost canonized now that you're supposed to live in fear. Notice verse 5 said, surely you shall not be afraid of the terror by night. That terror by night is that thing in the dark that you just, what if this, what if that? And I'm just here to tell you that what if demon travels with the spirit of fear. It's not healthy or holy to be constantly going, well, what if this, what if that, what if this? I like, if I'm going to use what if, I say, well, what if God does this and what if God does that? Well, what if I don't get healed? Well, what if you do? And it says, surely you shall not be afraid of the arrow that flies by day. These are things that Satan tries to use to intimidate us that are clearly known to hurt us. Ephesians 6:16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench, what's that word? All the fiery darts of the wicked one. If you've got your shield, no fiery dart can penetrate it. But sometimes we're just too lazy to pick it up. It says, you shall not be afraid of the pestilence that walks in darkness. There's so many unknowns about this virus and a lot of others that you've forgotten about because the focus is all on this. We're afraid it's going to like sneak under our door at night like gas or something and get us. You're not to be afraid of that kind of thing. But Romans chapter 14, it's a rather long passage, and I'll be done between 5 and 40 more minutes. Romans 14, no, it's definitely closer to the 5 than the 40. Romans 14, verse 1, this is an application of a principle that I hope you can follow with because I'm going to read a lot of verses. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat. And let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Who are you to judge another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be, here's the key phrase, be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord, and he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks, and he who does not eat, to the Lord, he does not eat and gives God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. And then skip to verse 22. And here's the crux. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin. So whatever you choose to do when it comes to the vaccine, do it in faith. Whether you take it, whether you don't take it. When it comes to mask, mask up in faith or don't mask up in faith. But leave the people who don't choose what you choose, leave them alone. It's between them and God. not trying to yell at you. I'm just feeling a little passionate here. I do know this, that a fear decision is always a wrong decision and can actually cause you to receive what you feared. Job said, "That which I feared has come upon me." So whatever posture you take and whatever decisions you make, they do not need to be from a position of fear, but of faith. And here's my last admonition today. Stay steady. Back in our text, it said in verse 7, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Even when you see casualties all around you, it's one thing to believe what you read and know what you should do. It's a whole nother Oprah when it hits close to home in real life. When you've rebuked the spirit of fear and it gets back up in your face, when you've done everything you know to do and you still see people falling all around you, it changes the game, doesn't it? Mike Tyson said everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. Every soldier knows in the military, they learn this if they actually go to battle. The battle plan always falls apart after the first shot is fired. The gun range doesn't prepare you for the unexpected in battle. It doesn't account for being out of breath because you're running. You can't shoot straight because your adrenaline's pumping so hard. It doesn't account for you tripping or your gun jamming or it being 100 degrees and you're dressed in full military battle gear. It doesn't account for you peeing in your pants when the battle starts getting wild. There are a lot of things you didn't think of. You know, the first time I ever cast out a demon, I was not expecting what happened. Because I had read, hey, we have all authority over the demons. We can cast out demons in Jesus' name. And so I just did that in simple childlike faith. What I did not realize was a lot of times those demons say, nope, I'm not going. And it takes time. You have a spiritual battle. And what really blew my mind was I cast this demon out of this woman, or actually there were more than one, and I cast these demons out of this woman, and she got free as free could be. It was awesome. But she did not fill that space back with the Holy Spirit. And the next day they all came back, and I think they brought friends. And it was a week or two long battle dealing with this person, casting them out, and them coming back. My theology didn't allow for that. I thought, well, you'd say in the name of Jesus, come out, and it's over, and I can go home and have dinner. That's not exactly how it works. The actual battle is different from the theory on the page. And that's true of everything. So I have a 10-second clip, and if you weren't offended yet, this one ought to really do it. This is a 10-second movie clip from the movie Aliens. And let me set it up, and you guys get ready, but don't put it up yet. So if you saw these movies, and a lot of people don't watch these kind of movies, it was pretty scary. But Ripley, the character, and her team have landed, and they've been fighting these aliens, this alien that is killing everybody. And they've thrown everything they had against it. They've shot it with all kinds of guns and weapons. They've blown it up. They've shot it with fire. And they've done everything. And one by one, her team is getting killed. The alien is killing them all. And so they're all dead. And it comes down to this. Did you see her praying in tongues? Now, I know that's freaking some people out, so you can take it out, take it off. She was on the cusp of losing it all and succumbing. You know what the end of the movie was? She killed the alien. Just because the alien had her about to lose it again didn't mean the battle was over. She stood, and she stood well. So what do you do? We've seen many get the virus. Some seriously. Rodney's still very serious. Should we panic and change course? Well, only if God clearly says so. It wouldn't matter to me if everybody in this church got the virus. I believe what I believe because of the Word of God and prayer and seeking God. I feel solid in what I believe. My goal is your good. My goal is to help us through this. And of course, it's God's desire too. Ephesians 6:13 says, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Beloved, that's something that you do every day. You take up your armor and you stand. You do what you know to do when you've done your part, and God won't do your part. But when you've done your part, Jude 3 says that we are to contend for the faith. That's not passive, my friend. And when evil attacks, you set your perimeter. You take authority over what you have authority over. Your home, your marriage, your kids, our church. I have prayed, and I believe this. Again, you don't have to, but it helps if you believe too. That this virus cannot come in this building. In Jesus' name, it's consigned to outside the building. You say, well, that's silly. That's ridiculous. As far as I know, no one who's gotten the virus got it here. But even if they did, I'm still going to pray to expel that thing in Jesus' name. What's the alternative? Fall to your knees and say, well, okay, I guess you win. Never. We fight the good fight of faith. Nowhere does it say that these things would not attack. But he does say in 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. It does say in Isaiah 49:25, but thus says the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible will be delivered. For I will contend with him who contends with you, and I will save your children. Do you believe that? He will contend with those who contend with you. When you're out of strength, when you're out of options, when you're out of knowing what to do, he will contend for you. All you got to do is sit in the secret place of the Most High. I'm going to become a Pentecostal preacher. I almost spit on Marge. You know you're preaching good when you spit, right? He does say in Romans 8:28, what? All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Can things happen that you didn't fit your theology, that you didn't plan for, that you didn't think would happen? They can. But somehow God is going to work that together for your good if you're in the secret place of the Most High. If everybody around me is getting divorced, is it inevitable that I will too? If there are so many around us falling away, does that mean it's just a matter of time before I do? No, I reject all those propositions because they're not true. Just because a lot of people are doing them has nothing to do with the truth. Sometimes, even though we've locked the doors and the windows at night, sometimes, somehow, the robber still breaks in. So what do you do when that happens? Do you analyze what you did wrong? I wonder if I forgot the basement door. I wonder if I did ever. Or do you say, oh, it got in. I thought everything. And you just collapse on the floor and say, okay, go ahead and take all my stuff and kill my family. Is that what you do? Of course not. You go get your shotgun and you go to war. You protect your family. They say people with high blood pressure are more susceptible to the virus, so I better quit. Would you bow your head with me? Almighty fortress, Almighty God, we thank you for the refuge of the secret place. And we press into that now, God. And I pray for everyone in our church and everyone listening to us. I pray for Rodney, be healed in Jesus' name. I pray for all the others who have gotten it at some degree or whatever, that they would be healed in Jesus' name. God, that we would look to you, the author and the finisher of all our faith, God. I pray that you would equip us, or you have equipped us. I pray that you would give us the spiritual sense to go into our armory and bring out the weapons that you've provided for us. While your heads are bowed, is there anyone in this place that you're not sure whether or not you even are in Christ? You don't even know what I'm talking about when I say the secret place of the Most High. And you need to just surrender your life to Christ. Would you raise your hand? I'd love to pray with you. Maybe you're a person that at one time walked with God, but you walked away. And now you realize that you need him. Anybody in this room? I know there are many online probably watching, and I encourage you to surrender to Jesus today. So we're going to move into communion, and I think it's fitting that today we take communion because we are one body. We have people in our church who have gotten the vaccine and people that haven't, and people that absolutely are against it, and some that think we need to just give in and start doing that. We have people who feel strongly about mask and not mask, and we're all on the same team. And communion is a time for us to discern the Lord's body. That means we properly evaluate the Lord's body, and we properly consider our position and our connection in that body. That's part of what that means anyway. And so we're going to come to the Lord's table. And I'm going to do one other thing. While you're coming, and we're going to have you come, while you're coming, I'm going to stand over here, and I'm going to have my anointing oil. And if you'd just like me to anoint you and pray over you, whether preventatively or whatever, I'll be happy to pray with you. And our communion is in. You just have to take one thing. We have two communion cups with the bread underneath the top one. And so it's all in one. And you can either find a place up here to pray or go back to your seat or whatever. And I'll lead us in a little bit. So come down this aisle and come down that far aisle so we don't have a traffic jam. Jane, could you serve the platform, please?
Oh,
I'm sorry. I was misled. Never mind. It's good. That's a good wife. Praise God. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it says in verse 28, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. I know there's a whole lot to unpack with that. But basically, if I could summarize it, it's telling us that when we come before the Lord's table, we're to consider what Jesus has done for us, and how we didn't deserve even a little bit of it, that we're forgiven and saved by grace alone, and that we're to examine our hearts to see if there's any way in us that is out of the way with him, and allow him to make the adjustment that needs to make. If you need to repent of something, repent of something. It's a time to get your heart right, to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you in ways that maybe you weren't even thinking about before. And it's also a time to consider your brothers and sisters in Christ, in the body, because you're part of them. You're part of these people that sit around you. You are part of the organic body of Christ, and it has nothing to do with your membership on a roll. It has to do with your connection in the Spirit. So you're connected to me and to the people around you, whether you like it or not. And it's not okay to segment and separate yourself from the body. We all know if you take a living human body and cut the arm off and set it over on the side, not only is the person going to maybe bleed out, but that arm in a short period of time is going to have no life in it at all. It'll die and be no good. So with that in mind, it says in verse 24, when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's eat together. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's drink together. Oh, that rugged cross, my salvation, where your blood poured over me. Now my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise and honor unto thee. Father, I thank you for your people, and I thank you for what you've done in their lives and what you're going to continue to do. And I'm going high church today. I have a benediction. Romans, some of you, you're Pentecostal, you don't even know what that word means. Romans 15:5 says, "Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." God bless you. Have a great day. Tonight is going to be awesome. I really encourage you to come to this 90-minute training. Amen.